I'd ask you to turn to Ephesians 6. I will be reading out of the Amplified today. This title is called, What Do You Do? What to Do When You Feel Like Giving Up? It's under the category of subtitling Spiritual Warfare. And all of us have had these feelings of giving up. It's like we can't stand what's going on. We can't stand much more. I myself is included. I can't tell you what this last year has been like for me personally. Irene has had some idea of it, but you know, I've not told her everything that's been going on because frankly, I have to give it to God. I have to move in those things, and what God has given back to me is more of His spirit of wisdom and revelation, which we are to pray for out of Ephesians 1. Do you guys pray for that spirit? Do you pray for it? You should be. God says you ask, you receive. You don't ask, you don't get. And this is one thing He wants us to have is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So today let's turn to Ephesians 6:12, just one verse. And I'm reading from the Amplified. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, contending only with the physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly or supernatural spheres. I like this translation because it expands our understanding as to really what we should be understanding as to light and darkness. Satan is defeated, but that doesn't mean that he's given up. He is going to fight to the very end until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back, snatches him up, and throws him in chains into the pit. And then after 1,000 years, he's going to release him. And I've asked the Lord, why would you take your enemy and throw him in chains only to release him? And he says, that's not for you to know. So I don't know. But I do know this much, that we are contesting spiritual forces, and we must understand that in every situation that comes in, because we are not fully clean, we are not fully pure, what happens is these enemies come in and they flood us. They flood us with feelings, so much so that we feel like giving up. Has anybody ever felt like giving up no matter what it is? Well, that's a sure sign that you're under spiritual attack. When you feel like you can't take it anymore and you want to give up, stop, drop, roll out, and look and see that Satan wants you to give up. The things we have to understand is, first, what are feelings? What are feelings? Who can tell me what feelings are? I see that hand over there. Come on, Miss Karen. I figure it. I stomp you. They're not. They are feelings, and they're tied to our soul. In that, but I have to tell you that these feelings are attached to our emotions. And I'll give you the definition of feelings. Feelings is the power of perceiving by touch, a physical sensation that is not connected with sight, hearing, taste, or smell. It is a vague awareness, an attitude, an impression, or sensitivity, or sensation that influences our mind, our will, and emotions. That's what feelings are. Okay? Have you ever been to a place and you sense that something is akilter? That's a feeling. Okay? That is, your spirit is trying to discern what is going on. And what we do is we keep this generation at such a minimal definition that we need to really start growing up and expanding this thing to understand how spiritual warfare is conducted, because if we don't understand, if all we say is God's in control and this too will pass, yeah, these are things that we say, Irene and I say, because we know that eventually, as we place our faith in God and acknowledge our faith in God, that the enemy is going to withdraw. Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. James 4:7. That's the practical side of it. But we need to understand too that we are constantly embroiled in this battle. Constantly. And Sean can remember the times when we were back in the Republican Club, and I'm constantly looking around what's going on. And I told him, I said, you know, after every tremendous battle we've had, there's kind of like this lull that happens in the fight. But I'm constantly looking for the enemy. Where is he going to pop up, and what's he going to do? We need to be prepared. We need to be aware that even when he attacked the Lord, he left him for a more opportune time. And that's what he's doing. He's always looking for a kink in your armor that he can attack you. He tried to attack us through our emotions with this passing of Olga. And he tries to keep us to disconnect our focus in there. But there's other things in this battle I want you to understand. In this battle, when we have these feelings, who is it that's really attacking us, and how do we deal with this in a proper perspective? So I'm going to talk to you as more mature spiritual people, so that you can begin to understand the depth of what is required of us. We can't sit by idly and just pretend that we're not in this battle, because the battle is here. And it's not a matter of when the battle comes. The battle is coming in your life. And some people, like in my life, you wouldn't know half the stuff that's going on. You see maybe an outburst of my frustration, and it's not directed to anyone in particular except the enemy. It's like, I cannot wait to start taking the souls out of his kingdom, training them for the Lord, and release them back out there, so they can devastate his kingdom for the glory of God. That's my heart. But in understanding what feelings are, do we know what it means to perceive? Because part of this understanding is the power to perceive. What is perception, Dan? Okay. Perception is exactly that. It's take data and make a decision. Really, the it's a verb. To perceive is to become aware of, to know, identify through one's senses, to apprehend, envision, or understand. And when we're able to understand what we're going through, because let's face it, a lot of times we have these feelings of giving up when we don't understand what's going on. Right? And these feelings come through what? Despair. Which is a spirit. It is not an emotion. And this is one of the things that you have to understand. That there are, even with angels sitting here next to us, there are devils and demons and imps sitting right alongside of them, whispering in your ear. So that you will not hear what the Word of God is saying to you, or glean from the wisdom of an old warrior who's seen this stuff and been active in this stuff, because they don't want you to fight the good fight of faith. They don't. They want you to give up. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm asking you to rise up and join me in this war. That's what sons and daughters do. You know, I affectionately call Jessie my Amazon. I've trained her in such a way that, you know what, she's not going to take any gump from any demon. She is not. That's part of being trained up in a righteous house. You know, and I don't make any kind of excuses for it. She's trained. She knows. And Gary's being trained. And so when the two of them are together, there's a synergism that comes in the spirit that nothing's going to break that apart. And that's what has to happen here. You know, when I talk about when we're teaching about the bride, we'll resume that. Those teachings, we have to get real with each other. We have to take all this false stuff out of our lives, all this pretense, all these lies that we're trying to convince ourselves that we don't need this stuff. But we have to begin to start agreeing with God. God says you have need of this. If He says you do, then you do. I've been in stuff where I've seen stuff happen and it's like, I don't need this, God. But obviously you think I do, so I guess I'm going to have to deal with this. And you've heard me say this a lot of times. We need to understand that not only did Jesus go to heaven to send His Holy Spirit to us, the job of the Holy Spirit, the forgotten God that we tend to just breeze over as an enigma, is that His job is to teach us, to train us, to discern not only truth from a lie, but also to develop our perception for spiritual warfare. Let me say that again. The job of the Holy Spirit is to teach us and train us how to discern not only truth from a lie, but also developing our perception for spiritual warfare. What is your perception of this warfare? Or do you just think things just happen? They don't just happen. We use stuff like, oh, it's a coincidence. You know how it is. It's just a coincidence. You can turn it all the way out. Thank you. Spiritual warfare is fought with spiritual battles using spiritual weapons. We fight spiritual battles not with natural ordnance. What is ordnance? It's ammunition. We don't fight it with tanks and guns and bullets and stuff like that. We don't use that. We have spiritual weapons. And that's those spiritual weapons include, but not just isolated to, prayer, fasting, and using the Word of God correctly, not upon each other, but upon the enemies that would try to separate us one from another. Really? When we're babes in Christ, we think we're the cat's meow, and we start impressing people how much Bible knowledge we have. And I've told people, I'm not impressed with how much you know. I'm not a chapter verse guy. I'm a word guy, but I'm not a chapter verse guy. I know it's in Scripture, and it may take me a little bit to find it, but you know what? It's there. And when I quote it, it's coming out of the abundance of years of spending time with the Holy Spirit and being in the Word and meditating on the Word, which is a spiritual battle by itself. When you read the Word, do you meditate or do you just gloss over? I mean, every discipline that has been given to you to encourage you is important. And when we begin to rely on our excuses, well, I have this, or, you know, I've been too busy, or, you know, I just didn't have time. There are excuses that the enemy is whispering into your ear. You are not that person that was before a new creation. When you were confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're now a new creation. All those things are gone. You can't rely on that stuff anymore. But somehow we tend to think that that's okay. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying, if you got stinking thinking, your actions flow out of what you think about. Jesus put it another way. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, you will conduct your life as such. And when we try to teach you about excellence, we're not trying to teach you something is it Miss Irene approved or is it Pastor Gary approved? No. We're trying to teach you something that in all purity, get rid of the junk. As we clean our homes, we get rid of the junk that has no useful purpose, that clutter is a work of the enemy. If you don't believe me, just leave your house cluttered. You'll see. Because that's a reflection of how you think. Oh, it's okay. It's good enough. I used to be one of those guys. It's good enough. Can't see it from my house. And now, I know some of you guys are like, why does he do this? Well, you know, this is silly. It'll be hidden. Father knows. I know. I know to do right. The word says if you know to do right and don't, it is sin. I don't want the enemy to have any place in my life. I don't want him to have even the smallest place to put his foot, his toe into something, because that gives place to the enemy to creep into what God wants to do through streams, through you. As we apply the Word of God into our areas and in submission to what it instructs us to do, we receive power and authority. What is power? What is authority? And you're going to get a constant drilling of this. You have power and authority. Delegate it. But you don't know how to use it. If you did, your life would be different. When we talk about discipline or being a disciple, it is to help enhance the process. Me pouring my life into you doesn't mean I'm going to tell you what to do. It only means this is what God did for me. He wants to do it for you. You could choose to live what's going on in your life. But how's it working? Or do you want something better for your life? Do you want something better for your kids? Do you know more than God? Is basically what I'm saying. I go into the Word of God. I find out what He says. I may not like what He says, but that's not an option. And she's been there many times. I've thrown my Bible across the room. I said, "You're full of soup, God. You know, this is nuts." And He says, if you do this through obedience, you will have understanding as to what I'm saying. Isn't that what we do with our kids? Just do it. You'll understand once it's done. Because we see a bigger picture. God sees a bigger picture. And He loves us so much, He doesn't want the enemy to come in here. Demons attack our souls with thoughts and imaginations that they can release other demons. Are you aware there's different levels of demons and stuff? When we talk about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, we're talking about our mind zone. We're talking about the heavenlies. We're talking about the cosmos. I mean, but most of the battle's right here. How you think is how you're going to respond to life issues. And so, what is principle number two? Become a living sacrifice. Principle number three. So be no longer conformed to the world, but transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. I call that spiritual brainwashing. And there are people that will spiritually brainwash you by telling you, but don't tell you to read it for yourself. They're interpreting for you what the Word says. Well, how do you know what they're saying is true? I tell you constantly. Be a Berean. Go in and check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Look at it. Study to find yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. When demons come in, they just find a chink in the armor and they open up that armor and they just let their infantry in there into your life. It fills your heads with stuff. And some of these little demons, lesser demons, is fear, confusion, and despair. They're demons. They are not emotions. I'm going to call them what they are. And you need to start doing it too. I'm just so fearful. What are you afraid of? You have all power and authority in Jesus' name. What are you afraid of? Well, I just can't do what you do, Pastor. No, I expect you to do greater than me. Greater works Christ expected of me. That I'm trying to do because there's more of you and I'm pouring more into you. And then greater works you can do. You can do this. Jesus told us we can do this. So we need to do this. Why? Because we're listening to the lies of the enemy that bring in confusion, bring in despair. They want to steal our hope. They want to destroy our faith. They want to kill you. You are a difference maker. You are a world changer. You are kings and priests of the Most High God. You have to start thinking in that realm. That's not just hyperbole that I'm saying things in here just to make you feel good about yourself. And then you go out there and go, oh, woe is me. Life is real. But what God says is even more true than what we're experiencing. There's a greater reality that once we speak, it happens. We give life to it. And the devil doesn't want you to appropriate the cross of Jesus Christ into your life. I die daily. I hate it. I hate it. I'm telling you the truth. I hate having to go to the cross every day. But it's for my good. It's for glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I don't do this, then what am I existing here for? I might as well go on to heaven. Because I'm no use to God here for you. We apply the Word of God to our minds for a reason. And the reason is to get the pollution out of there. We have lived in a world that has told us, fed us, and tried to convince us that what they're saying is true. It is not. This world is trying to tell you there is no God. There are people who are trying to profess themselves as Messiah. They are not. God came in the flesh. He manifested Himself. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a life without committing a sin. He didn't have a wrong thought. He didn't have a wrong spoken word. He did nothing wrong. He lived His life in such a way that God told Him what to do, and He accepted it and lived it. And then in doing that, He defeated the enemy. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He spoke words of life. And when He told people, what are you hanging around me for? Because I can feed you. And they all left Him. And He looked at the disciples and said, why are you staying here? Why do you come to streams? It should be the same answer to the disciples. Because here's where we feed on the Word of life. Only you have the Word of life, Lord. Only you. Not me, Him. Demons want us to focus on the images of our offenses, arguments, lesser emotions. To falsely cause us to perceive this offense. Generally what happens is we start thinking about things and the next thing you know, I become offended. When maybe it may have been just a miscommunication, a misunderstanding. But we don't go to that one. Why? Because we're afraid. See how fear comes in? Fear's job is to separate us. To isolate us from one from another. And so what happens is when something's miscommunicated or we don't perceive properly, immediately what do? We start justifying our actions by our thoughts and then we gossip. Pastor, I don't mean to say this, but, and you fill in the blank. And I'm not just saying this is for streams. I'm talking about the church worldwide. We gossip about each other. Why? Because we don't want to focus on ourselves. We want to focus on them. And what we really need to do is look at ourselves and begin to see something. And after you guys had left from the restaurant yesterday, my brother sat down and he was sharing something about an older brother of mine who just recently got saved. Praise God. And he revealed to me that my brother is angry with me for something I did him as an adolescent. And I'm like trying to think what it was in that. My conscience is clear. And I encouraged my brother. And I said, God has brought you to a place that you can bring him to a place to understand that this is more than I just received Jesus and everything's good. And when I get to heaven, he's going to sort out the awards for us. And that's the way it is. And my brother began to explain to my older brother that it doesn't work that way. That there's rewards involved in here. And what you do in the body of Christ, for or against, counts. And God's keeping a checklist of what's going on. He's better than Santa Claus. He really is. The neat thing is Santa Claus sees what you do, good or bad. God sees what you do, good or bad, and he gives us a way out called repentance. And then all he sees is the good. You get that all washed out. You get renewed. You get refreshed. I'd rather go that route. So I encouraged my brother to realize that he has a great opportunity in front of him to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after that, Gary had gone up to him and encouraged him to come down to the church building because he has an investment he has made into the church building. And my hope is that they will make an investment to be a part of the local church body. They have no church affiliation. And so they need training. So I encouraged him where he's at, but to take the next step for himself. We have to understand that demons will erect strongholds of the corruption that is within our soul. Everything that we have that's negative, they will take it and they will build this stronghold. And this stronghold is a dungeon in which what they will do is subject you to bondage. They will chain you in the streams of bondage to the negative thoughts, poison that is in you, and throw you into prison, never to get you to escape. And that's why people who are believers in Jesus Christ are still giving themselves to bondage, because they don't understand that spirits of confusion, despair, fear has locked them into this. I'm not minimizing the realities that we go through in our lives. All of us have gone through some tragedy in our lives. They should make us stronger, not weaker, because of Jesus Christ. He takes that bad thing, and what's his promise? Though the enemy meant it for evil, God will turn around for good. That's how good God is, if we let him. But he's not going to violate our will. He's not going to do things that we don't want him to do. And it pains him that we would stay in this thing. And the next thing you do is, I want to give up. I want to leave the church. That, you know, they're talking about me. They're doing, but you know what? Is that really true? Have you talked to anybody about what's going on? Have you sat down and asked? You see, we're so fast to put the blame on somebody else, and we don't understand our objective responsibility through Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is one to bring one to repentance, reconciliation, and restoration of a relationship. As long as you do everything you're supposed to do, ultimately that person has to make a decision. If you've done all you know to do, then you turn it over to God and let God work with that person. But you've done everything. You keep praying for them. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." What is fear? In fear, that was the first spirit that came upon Adam and Eve. Remember? God's walking through the garden. He says, "Where are you?" And what did they utter? "We heard you and we became afraid." Why would you be afraid of God? You see how the enemy wants to separate a relationship. Fear is always sent in first. Why? Because we don't want to confront somebody. Oh, I don't want to offend them. We want to pretend that we're so spiritual that we don't want to confess our sin. You know, I did wrong. I didn't realize that I did wrong. Forgive me. I repent before you. Hold me accountable. You know, we all have weaknesses. We all do things that in the scope of things may not be the right thing to do. But the right thing to do is not run away from one another, but run to God and help have God give us the grace and understanding that, you know what, there's nothing more important than this relationship, because if I have this relationship, there's no fear. I can confront you. Not in a bad way.
You know, you muddied up my shoes. You offended me.
Cut me a break. Is that really the big deal here? What is really bothering you? You know, we need to get real with each other. What is it that's going on inside of you that's keeping you from confessing to a brother or a sister? What's really going on? And fear will keep us from that. We're afraid. We may even be afraid to hear the truth about ourselves. And fear doesn't want us to know the truth. Why? Because the truth will set us free. Once we agree with Jesus, and we have His Word, we have to understand, there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh. Nothing. Not a single thing good in the flesh. Part of our mind is part of that. Our actions do that. What is going on in your heart? Are you afraid and thereby give up on that relationship? Is that person as important as your relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you promote them? Or do you want to be the center of attraction? Center of attention. What is it that the Lord would say to you today to keep you separated from building this intimacy? You know, I know people through the years, and we've done marriage counseling with people in streams and out of streams, that have told us they have not been able to get naked in front of their spouse. And I'm like, Adam and Eve were naked in front of one another, and they knew no wrong. They didn't know anything. But let's get down to the brass tacks. You know, intimacy is not built in the dark. Intimacy is built in the light. We have to see each other for who we are. I thank God Irene loves me. She's seen me in the naked, in the light. And she says, you need to diet, buddy. And I tell her, you got to stop cooking good food. And I thank her for feeding me. But I just want to leave you with that thought. We'll continue this next week in this to gain understanding and revelation that these powerful territorial spirits are out there. But they send lesser spirits in here. And if we do not recognize that we're in a war, if we give in to that nonsense, we will not be successful in defeating the enemy. We need to make covenant with one another in such a way that it's a reality. Not just make covenant because we think, well, that's pastor select group. The men that are in covenant, their families that are in covenant with me, we get real with each other. Dan said something to me the other day. He said, well, quite frankly, pastor, you know, if you want the truth, blah, 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 blah. You know what, Dan? You're absolutely right. I repent right now. Did we not have that conversation? That's what it means to be real. I'm pastor, but I'm submitted to hear the truth. That truth hurt, but it was no less the truth. I had to admit a weakness in my own life that a son saw in a spiritual father. And was brave enough. He could have been afraid. He could have let that spirit keep him from speaking. And I would not have benefited. Understand that when we confront, it's for the other person's benefit. And the devil doesn't want us to benefit from us being united, loving one another just for who they are, not what they can provide, and getting this stuff, this gray matter, reprogrammed so that Jesus Christ can take full reign and control of your life in order to build into other people's life. It's not enough just being right with God. Now we need to be right with each other. And the depth of this rightness is eventually in through covenantal relationship. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing to us this one powerful spirit, the spirit of fear, God. But we have exposed him in some of his wiles today, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that your people, that God, would come to understand that it is a good thing to expose this spirit. It is a good thing, God, to get ourselves right. It is a good thing because every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father. And this is a good thing that you've given to us through the Holy Spirit today. I ask, God, that you bless Streams. You bless the people of Streams. Bless their workmanship, Lord God, into these relationships. And that we would pull down every stronghold, every argument, every vain imagination, God, that is not of you, and erect a stronghold of righteousness, purity, and holiness, God. I ask you, do this, Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. We'll